Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. The material that I was speaking about yesterday, I'm sure, raises some questions in your mind. Please don't hesitate to reach me through renewalministries.net with your questions. I will try to be, I'll take some of those questions. I can't answer everybody, but I can take the questions and use them for other programs, and I would be glad to do that. So don't hesitate. Just go to our website, renewalministries.net, and I'm sure you'll be able to navigate through that and leave a message. Today, we take a look at the readings. The first one is from the book of Ezra, and then we move to the Gospel of Luke. But before I speak about those passages, I want to go back to something that I encountered in Magnificat magazine. It's by a woman whose name was Madeleine de Brill. She is now a servant of God. That's a first step on the move towards sainthood. She is listed as a servant of God. She died in 1964, a French laywoman, a writer, and a mystic devoted to caring for the poor. I want you to listen to what she says in light of what we spoke about yesterday and in terms of suffering and just life in general. She writes, it's entitled The Lamp of Faith. She says, "Let us be aware that faith does not make us supermen or superwomen. It does not make us a genius or a hero. It does not make us, quote, better than others, better organizers, better builders, better thinkers. What it does do, it makes us different. It does not free us from any human obligation, but it gives us a work, a role, a mission that is for the world and is not of the world. It gives us the task of making real in the world the very love of God in human form. Its ways of being human, Christ's ways. It brings us the duty of making real in the world of time the eternal love of God." And repeat that sentence. It brings us the duty of making real in this world of time the eternal love of God. Of course, everything else goes on and has to go on, but the purpose of faith is to make God's love for the world visible as it was visible through His Son. He has chosen us. That's the followers of Christ, so that's you. He has chosen us to present us to the world which He loves and which we must love with Him and through Him in the same way that He has loved it. This is the purpose of faith in the world. This is the purpose that we are asked to accept, to make visible the love of God. How do we do that? Well, we'll see as we read through the readings. Just keep that in mind. Over this next, perhaps this next year especially, and by then it should be ingrained in you that my purpose in life is to reveal the love of God. There are multitudinous ways of doing that. But to show the love of God, to make it clear, to make, in a certain sense, God is present, fully present, but He can make Himself present through us in a particular way when people experience genuine love, kindness, charity, mercy. Are you an ambassador for Christ? That's another way of putting it. That's what we're trying to get at. You have a role. You have a place that no one else can play. With your personality, your gifts, your strengths, your weaknesses, God has a role for you to play. It's apart from all the other earthly things that we do. But my key place in life is by the way I live, my priorities, that I am a son or daughter of God. That's living faith, and that's what the world needs. We're walking around many places, stumbling in the darkness. Let your light shine. Only God can do that through you. It's by you, as John the Baptist said, and I mentioned last week, it's by your decreasing that he may increase. In other words, you want his priorities, his agenda, more than you want your own. Doesn't mean you don't have your own, but his priorities for the day or for the event or whatever it may be, over a period of suffering in your life, you want his priorities over yours. When you do that, that's faith in action. And when you do that, God begins to reveal himself through you by your love, your mercy, your kindness, your generosity. The first reading today is taken from the book of Ezra, chapter 6, verses 7 to 8, verse 12, and then verses 14 to 20. King Darius issued an order to the officials of west of Euphrates. Quote, let the governor and the elders of the Jews continue the work on that house of God. They are to rebuild it on its former site. I also issue this decree concerning your dealing with these elders of the Jews in the rebuilding of that house of God from the royal revenue, the taxes of west of Euphrates. Let these men be repaid for their expenses in full and without delay. I, Darius, have issued this decree. Let it be carefully executed. The elders of the Jews continued to make progress in the building, supported by the message of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo. They finished the building according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus and Darius and of Artaxerxes, king of Persia. They completed this house on the third day of the month Adar in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. The children of Israel, priests, Levites, and the other returned exiles, they're coming out of exile, celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. For the dedication of this house of God, they offered 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, together with 12 he-goats as a sin offering for all Israel, in keeping with the number of the tribes of Israel. Finally, they set up the priests in their classes and the Levites in their divisions for the service of God in Jerusalem, as is prescribed in the book of Moses. The exiles kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. The Levites, every one of whom had perished, had purified himself for the occasion, sacrificed the Passover for the rest of the exiles, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Psalm 122, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when God does something good for us, when he brings us out of exile of any kind, offer him thanksgiving and praise. Give him the honor that is his due. Exalt his name. Psalm 122, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. I rejoiced because they said to me, we will go up to the house of the Lord, and now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem. They came before the Lord to worship him, make sacrifice, thank him, praise him. How do you do that in this century? How do you do that so many centuries after this kind of gratitude and thanksgiving? Or do you take God's gifts for granted? How do you thank him? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 19 to 21. The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they wish to see you. And he said to them in reply, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. Brothers and sisters, this is very, very applicable today. Here's his mother they call their brothers, that was their cousins, the, you know, the family tree, so to speak, of all varieties. Your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they wish to see you. As a human being, can you imagine what it must have been like for Mary to hear these words, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it? You know, from a human point of view, that could feel like a snub, like turning his back on his family. He's not. And Mary, in her heart of hearts, knew that. What he's trying to say is that those who are closest to me, those who are dearest to me, are those, I'm putting in my words here now, but it's summarized in this gospel passage, that those who read my word, ponder my word, live my word, act on my word, those are my mother and my brothers. In other words, the people closest to me, the people I love to be with, the people who bring my Father honor and glory, are those who hear the word of God and act on it. So my question to you, my question is, how strong is your faith? When you read the word of God, when you hear it at Mass, perhaps, when someone else refers you to a scripture passage, do you ask the Lord, Lord, I hear your word. Is there anything you want me to do in light of this word? Whatever portion of scripture it is. Now, I don't mean picking out pieces at random. I'm not talking about that. But when you read through the readings of the day, or perhaps you're taking a month to read through Paul's letters to the Corinthians, as you go through those readings, as you read them privately and if at all possible, in some quiet so that you're not distracted. These words are living, and these words have power to change you. They have power to convict you. They have power to console you. How clearly are you listening? Are you deciding how you're going to live out that truth, that reality, in your own personal life? This is very important. In fact, it's critical. If you just, you know how it's in one ear and out the other, you could listen to the readings every Sunday at Mass or even go to Mass every day and listen to the readings and never ask yourself the question, how does this apply to me? What does God want of me in light of whatever teaching it is that he gives you, particularly in the Gospels? See, we can't be passive, brothers and sisters. We can't be passive. Things can't be the status quo. The number of people leaving the Catholic Church is humongous. We need to make some clear decisions about our lives and about our obedience to the Word of God, that His light might shine in the darkness. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.